Hello. It's to myself, but of course also to others, because we work a lot in constellation, and I think it's also one of the recipes of technological disobedience. For me, it's not something which is it's a personal thing that you are feeling very technological disobedient, but like really collectivity and is something which is embedded in technological disobedience. And when you were asking about like an anecdote or it's like, okay, I have to go back in memory, but this OOO is like a collective memory, so I will just take a snapshot of what comes in. And while I was navigating there, a moment when I'm not so much into disobedience, because we are in urgencies and emancipation, so we don't feel we are disobedient. We just want to also try to go in the matter of technology to be able to become or to interact. And yes, that's maybe disobedient or seen by others as disobedient. But one moment, we were trying the water fountain antenna. So it's a modification of the P box of P note, which it's embedded in this collective transmission of becoming radio or to be in the electromagnetic spectrum. And that's something which really emancipated us by being involved in these environments and have also tools, access to tools to do so. So we were trying to make an antenna by having a fountain, so to calculate the antenna, we had like salt water going up to a certain height to have like and well grounded to be able to transmit by the water which was going up. And it was here in Brussels, we found like a historic fountain, La Fontaine de Saint-Anne. And La Fontaine, it was not like a fountain spreading water in a vertical height, but it was like a place where people would come together and take water. So it's a little bit, I don't know how you call it in English, but like if you have the horizon, the fountain is in the ground. So you, if you're standing in front, you don't really see it because you have to go with a little staircase down. It's more a source. It's a source of water. And then it was a time that you couldn't do anything public, but because the space was submerged, you wouldn't really see that people would be together. And then, of course, if you're transmitting, people are scattered because they have their little radios. It's not like a centralized way of looking or being. You can be with your little radio around it. And the antenna was like a little bit higher, so not in the submerged space, but in the submerged space we were at least with 10 people. It was not allowed. We installed everything. It was snowing like hell. So we were trying to transmit, and then suddenly we realized actually that because it was winter, and what is used in the winter actually for making the snow melt is salt. So you have to imagine that the whole city actually, when it's melting, that the salt comes in the water, and that you have actually the whole underground submerged system of the gutter becomes like a possible huge antenna. Or at least there is conductivity, and it's like this moment of realization that the salt was in the water was like, whoa, what are we actually doing, and what is the possibility to do it really in a not a larger scale, but like to get a lot of people involved in this, using this natural phenomenon to transmit. Yeah, it was a fountain source, and it became. it became a huge fountain. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, at the same time, it was also happening. Some people made like these sticks that people could walk around. It's just two metal sticks. You see that the best is that the end is in some wooden part that it can still move, and then you can walk around to find these sources. And it seems para-scientific or something. It doesn't seem like real science. But yeah, a lot of these parascientific is also used in the military and in the commercial circuits for having new devices or new technologies, and also this water source antenna. It was used also on the sea. You would have boats. Like the red, and it looks like these boats which are lighthouses. But like in the wartime, they would also use this kind of boats and put like a spray of salt water up to be able to send and receive. And there lies also some kind of disobedience, I think, to have like technologies which are developed for war and commercial interest, which are sometimes not seen as the scientific approaches. They are used, and if you then try to again try these things, because like first you have to sometimes technically develop or understand the principles behind to be able to then start to have critical other urgent messages. So it's all the time going in the technological matter, and there with the sticks, that seems like very, very ancient techniques, but it's still working. Is it that what we wanted to try to
antenna,
capture?
Like just one last thing about the antenna, the water antenna. Mm-hmm. How do you
How do you make the antenna? It's actually the same as the dipole that you're doing.
But how do you fit the antenna with one kind of frequency? Do you do that, or is it?
But we use the little P box, and on pin 4 and 5, we put the antenna. So it's like just a tube. You have to see that the ground and the signal are separated, that they are not coming together. And you just put the two, the ground and the signal on the pi, and then you can start to use it. And how do you calculate it? You take the speed of light divided by your frequency, and then you have the lambda, and you have the wavelength, and then you have to see what kind of antenna you're making. And this is a little bit in between of a ground plane and a dipole, and then you see that the water comes exactly on the right height, the same as you cut your wire on the same. Yeah, we made one with a tube of water, but you like the ones which they used to do on the sea. It was just like they just pumped up the water in a certain height. So.
Okay.
So ask Amy,
no,
actually.
But I should.
Then I go away from here.